We've been going through a series called Perfect Timing, God's Perfect Timing in Sending His Son. This morning we'll be in Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, whether it's a digital version, whether you have a hard copy like this one, or whatever you use, whether it's one on the back of our pews there, I encourage you to open it to Luke chapter 2 in the New Testament. At times it's hard to live at peace with people. We live in a world where there's always, it seems like, somewhere to go and something to do, and this time of year that is exacerbated. It's magnified because there's more to do. There's gifts to get, there's food to get so that we can have meals, and there's just more, it seems like, to get done. And sometimes in our constant busyness, we make choices that are not always the best choices. I read an open letter from a police officer this week. He'd pulled over a teenager going 100 miles an hour in a 65 mile per hour zone. And it was on Facebook. I'm not going to go dive into that a whole lot. But sometimes in our busyness, we make these choices that are not wise choices. They don't bring peace. The officer was pleading with this teen that no matter how busy you are, no matter what you have going on in your life, you need to make the right choices, because your choices affect other people. And as we live our lives, we have the opportunity to live our lives in a peaceful way or in a contrary way, to be argumentative or to be against everything, and you can see that everywhere. I'm sure this teen had reasons he was going 100 miles per hour, whether it was just to get the adrenaline rush or whether he had somewhere to be and he was very late. Who knows? But it's hard to have peace in a world that goes 100 miles per hour. There will always be things that are not peaceful on this earth until Christ returns. But Christ brought us peace with God. In our text this morning, the angels, Jack read some of that already, the angels will introduce peace. Let's read Luke chapter 2 this morning. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says this: In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you: you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is a very familiar passage. We read it multiple times during the Christmas season, and I'm sure some of you have heard it hundreds of times before. But don't let the familiarity of this passage cause you to step over it or miss the point of what's happening here. The message that's being delivered is that peace had arrived. The angel said to the shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Peace had now arrived. Isaiah tells us in his prophecy, why was peace needed? Isaiah tells us in his prophecy, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." One of the titles that would be given to him was the Prince of Peace. Peace was needed. Why? Because this was a nation that was constantly in conflict. The nation of Israel had been in conflict since the Old Testament. For hundreds of years, they had been taking over nations or being taken over by nations and been constantly in battles, in wars. It would be nice to have a little peace. In today's day and age, you turn on the TV or you open up a newspaper and there's constant conflict, both here in the States among people. Open up Facebook and you'll read the conflict between people. Or abroad, there's conflict between nations that just never seems to end. They're always battling each other, always arguing amongst each other, but Jesus came to bring peace. The Messiah would usher in peace. God had sent the Prince of Peace. Why? Because peace is needed, the Bible tells us. Peace is needed because we are in conflict. We're in opposition to God. We like to say no to him. No is my youngest daughter's favorite word right now. You'll ask her something, she'll say, "No." She kind of has a little bit of an accent. I don't know if that's because we moved south or what. She has a little bit of a, "No." Sometimes I like to trick her. I'll be like, "Naomi, would you like a cookie?" "No." "Yes." She changes, but her automatic reaction right now is, "No. No, I don't want that." And we do that to God a lot of times. That's our nature. Our nature is automatically no. But Jesus Christ came so that we could have peace with God. God took it upon himself to send his son that was born as a baby and was laid in a manger. There was no room for him in any housing. All that was open was the barn, where they could stay because of everyone traveling, because of the census and other things. There was just no room. And so God sent his son, and he knew the plan. He knew where he would be born. There had been prophecies saying that the Messiah would come and be born in Bethlehem. God knew everything. God knew who the shepherds would be out in the field that night. He knew each of the sheep, and he knew all the hairs on the sheep. And God knew it all, and yet Jesus came to be born. God decided to make that move because he loved us so much. That peace was Jesus Christ who was born. And the Bible tells us that the shepherds left glorifying and praising God. The verses for our series are Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son." The perfect timing, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who are under the law. God sent his son, born as a baby, to redeem his people so that we might receive adoption as sons. God chose to redeem his people because we were disobedient. We had disobeyed God. That disobedience, that nature had been in humanity since the fall. But God needed to redeem his people. A price needed to pay for the penalty of sin. And God sent his Son to redeem us and pay that price, to bring us peace. And Jesus didn't stay a baby. Jesus didn't stay a baby and didn't stay in a manger. Jesus grew up. Jesus became an adult, and Jesus said some things about peace. John chapter 14, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Jesus said, "I give you my peace." John chapter 16, he said, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Where do we find our peace? We find our peace in Jesus Christ. Because he has given us his peace. If you're a Christian here today, he has given you his peace. Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 5. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith," if you're a Christian, you've been justified by faith, "we have peace with God now. We don't have to live in conflict with him. We have peace with God through" who? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He brought peace. The angels announced it back in Luke chapter 2. He ushered in peace that we could now have with God because Jesus Christ came and he lived on this earth. The fact is, the peace that Jesus brought isn't just kept to our relationship with God. Jesus brought peace that we could have with each other. Peace is practical. Peace isn't just something that's out there that we say, okay, someday there's going to be peace. Jesus will come back and there'll be peace on this earth. Peace is practical and we can have it now. How do I know that? The Bible tells us so. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to turn there. If you choose to, you can. Philippians chapter 4, verse 2. Paul is addressing the church in Philippi, and there's been an argument. And so he says, verse 2, "I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord." There's been these two ladies, and apparently they haven't gotten along. And so verse 3, he said, "Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." How do you help them? Verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And," verse 7, "and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So the only way for these ladies to work through this misunderstanding they were having was for what to happen? They needed peace. They needed the peace of God. And so Paul's writing and he's saying, help these ladies work through this because the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, needs to guard your hearts and your minds so this doesn't happen again. Once they resolve this conflict so that it doesn't happen again, so that they can have peace. Peace is a practical tool. It is beyond our comprehension at times, but it is given by God through Jesus Christ. So application this morning. Two questions I have. Am I at peace with God? Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is salvation in a nutshell. That is the gospel wrapped up. But are you at peace with God? Have you made that decision to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God is who he says he is, and that Jesus Christ came to die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. There's only one important decision in this life. Once you've passed, once you're gone, you cannot make that decision any longer. That decision is, have I decided to follow God or have I not decided to follow God? And everyone makes that decision whether they know it or not. Many in this world are out there and they may not realize it, but they are making a decision to not follow God. So my question, am I at peace with God? The second question I have is, Jesus said, that's not a question. Jesus said to him, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way to get to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. The second question I have is, am I at peace with others? Am I at peace with others? This time, sometimes we see relatives that maybe we haven't gotten along with the best over the years. Maybe there's family members that you've had conflict with and you've struggled. Ask yourself how you can bring God's peace, because the Bible tells us if you're a Christian, you have God's peace. How can I bring peace into these difficult situations? How can I bring God's peace and live peacefully with others? It doesn't mean you're never going to disagree. The Bible tells us that. There were two ladies who were arguing. It doesn't mean you're not going to disagree at times. But how can you make that matter right? How can you resolve that conflict? How can you address that in a peaceful manner? So am I at peace with God and am I at peace with others? Why? Because Jesus Christ came to bring peace. Peace between us and God. And peace that we could live out with others. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the peace that you brought, that you ushered in, so that we could have a relationship with you, so that we could not just be a people who say no all the time, but be a people who learn to obey you, a people who learn to love you because of the many sacrifices that you've made, but the sacrifice of Jesus coming to be born as a baby, to live his life in perfection, and to die on a cross to pay the penalty for our sin. God, I pray that you would help us to live at peace with one another. God, for those maybe that haven't made that decision today, help us to make the decision to follow you and live at peace with you, because that peace is offered. That is a gift you gave, but we can't take the gift unless we reach out and, the Bible says, confess with our mouth that you are Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised you from the dead. God, help us to make those moves today to live at peace. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.